Renewal by Anderson.
Back here on Downtown Home Stretch on a Tuesday afternoon, Rich Kimball with you. Our next guest on the program is a talented actor, writer, director, and producer. He's got a brand new film that's coming out this Friday called Bloodline Killer. And he's a part of an exciting video game coming from Marvel next year that's already generated quite a buzz. We're happy to be joined this afternoon by Drew Moorline. Drew, thanks so much for being with us. I also understand, too, you've got a little connection here to Bangor, Maine.
I actually just shot a film up there called The Ruse. It's a Stephen Mina film starring Veronica Cartwright, Michael Steger, Madeline Dundon, produced and makeup by the incomparable John Caglione Jr. from Dick Tracy and Dark Knight, and a slew of incredible stars. So, we just shot up in Bangor, Maine for a month and a half last summer. It was phenomenal. Loved every minute of it. I grew up in New Hampshire, so just south of you guys. And, you know, it's just lovely to get back up in that far northeast corner of the state. It's very bucolic, and the architecture is so beautiful and right on the coast, so... Lovely to be up there.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, let's talk about what's coming up later this week. On Friday, the brand new film drops. What can you tell us about Bloodline Killer?
Yeah, so Bloodline Killer is your beautifully perfect horror thriller slasher. Follows the great formula that horror fans and we all love, but it's a bit unique in the fact that it is character-driven and you have three-dimensional, beautifully fleshed out characters that you really care whether they live or die in the story, which I think makes it a bit unique in this genre.
Well, and you have worked with some of the best folks around when it comes to horror. You did South of Hell from the minds of Jason Blum and Eli Roth. It doesn't get any better than that.
Of course, yeah. Mina Savari was opposite me in that, and she was just incredible to work with. And that show was a blast. Shot it for 4 months down in Charleston, South Carolina. And of course, VHS, which is a cult classic in the horror industry. So that was an incredible film that really started my trajectory in the horror world. Premiered at Sundance and then had a bidding war for that one. And then they've made, I believe, three now since then, other iterations of that one.
I always feel like when it comes to acting in horror films, there's maybe a similar approach that you take with comedy, that you can't wink at the audience. You have to play it completely straight to be believable, and that's what reels in the audience.
For sure. I 100% agree with that. I think that's one of the biggest pitfalls of comedy or horror, as you just said, is trying to lean into the comedy, lean into the circumstances of the horror versus just making it a relatable, real person that the audience can go, I could imagine myself being in that situation, and that would be absolutely terrifying.
You also have done some work on the Broadway stage as well. You originated the role of Paul Owen in American Psycho. I'm a high school theater director. I don't know that we'll be doing American Psycho anytime soon, but what was that experience like for you, first time out being in a show like that?
Yeah, it was absolutely fabulous, to be honest with you. The cast and creatives on that show made an indelible mark on Broadway. I feel it was a rave party with blood, gore, and political jabs, and it was a brilliant introduction to the Broadway stage, and we loved performing that show every night, and of course bringing to life such an iconic character and such an iconic IP was a dream come true. I love that film, and it was really fun to step into those shoes.
We're talking with Drew Moorline here on Downtown. You had a chance to work with some other talented folks in a film that came out last year. What was it like working with Simon Pegg, Minnie Driver, and the great Christopher Lloyd?
You know, it was such a blast. Simon is the incredible person that you would imagine he is based on the roles he plays and how he's seen in the public eye. He's such an incredible guy. We had a blast in the green room. Of course, we had a blast shooting. Our scenes were hilarious together to shoot, and we barely made it through them. But in the green room, he is just so down to earth and a person that I could relate to. We both have families and lots of pets, and we had a blast working together. And the rest of the team on that film, we're just there to make a bizarre, dark comedy that gave us a glimpse into the Isle of Man. And we shot in Leeds in the UK, and it was such an incredible place to shoot, just rolling hills and farmland, and it was a magical experience.
And I had to think there were a few laughs when you worked with, I think, two of the funniest people in the business, Craig Bierko and Deborah Jo Rupp.
Yes, absolutely. It again to say that it was difficult to get through takes is an understatement. A lot of what you see in Fair Market Value, the film I shot with them, a lot of what you see may not have actually been in the script. It was just improvising and messing around with one another and having feeling the joy of spontaneity in every moment.
Now, the word is out there, Drew, that you have been known to pull a practical joke or two. Is there one that's a personal favorite of yours?
Oh, my gosh. Well, since we're talking horror, my dear friend Vince Otto, he still has not forgiven me to this day, but I chop a lot of wood. I live out in rural New Jersey now, and so we heat our house with wood. And I had him over one day, and I was like, I'm going to go chop some wood. And my daughter and I had made a bunch of fake blood the night before in preparation for this prank. And I had cut the fingers off of one of my work gloves, and I put bolts in it to make it look like it had fingers in it. And I hollered, and I had put a bunch of blood all over the stump, two fingers with the bolt. And I still had the glove on, and I just, like, tucked my fingers down. And he came around the corner, and all the blood drained from his face, and he just went into, like, we have to get to the hospital mode. And I let it go for about, I'd say, probably 90 seconds before stopping him as we were getting to the car. And he sat down on the driveway for about 15 minutes recovering, and he is definitely not forgiven me.
You have also done some great work in video games. I know you're part of one that's coming out next year. I don't know how much we can talk about Marvel's 1943 Rise of Hydra, but I do know this, about half the free world has already watched the trailer for this.
Yes, we are completely blown away and grateful for the response. It was dropped in secret at the Game Developers Conference. The trailer was dropped in secret at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco, and the response has been overwhelming. The response is, it looks like the next, you know, live action Marvel Disney Skydance series. And we could not be more grateful for that sentiment. That's the whole goal of this. It's a cinematic video game that we hope people enjoy in a deeper way than just video games, and the goal is to reach the gamers and satisfy them, and also to reach the public and people who don't necessarily find themselves gaming on a daily basis, and for them to be able to enjoy this experience as much as the next person. And of course, I feel overwhelming joy that I get to bring Captain America, Steve Rogers, to life in this capacity, and it's been a great journey so far. We haven't, you know, we'll continue to shoot until the game drops in 2025, so the bosses say.
We have talked with so many actors who've done voice work through the years, and everybody talks about, hey, it's great. You know, you can wear your sweats, you can wear your jeans, have a great time. But there have to be some challenges, too. What's a unique challenge that comes specifically with voice acting?
Well, interestingly, I can answer that question as well. But interestingly, this type of game and many of the games that I shoot are full performance capture. So we are on set, we rehearse and shoot just like a film or television show. So every single thing that you and the viewers have seen in that trailer was done by an actor. So if you saw Cap moving, anything he did, you saw me do. So it's a much more in-depth process. But yes, definitely voice. I do a lot of voice acting at a studio at home. And, you know, it's a solitary, that side of things, a very solitary world. I'm in a dark studio, soundproof studio by myself, creating these worlds around me out of my imagination. So I think that's the biggest challenge, if you will, in that world.
And also, I would have to think, too, the inability to interact with your fellow actors.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Sometimes you're blessed with that if you're in a studio doing something, but you're right. Generally, you're recording just your lines, and sometimes they'll play back for you, the others, but generally, you're just spitting out a few different takes of that line. So yes, you're right. The call and response is not there. So it's just a medium that needs to be learned, a style and technique that needs to be learned and practiced.
You're keeping very busy as an actor, but you've got other irons in the fire as a writer, producer. You've done some directing as well. Is that important for anybody going into the business to have a lot of different options available to you?
Yeah, that's my whole platform and foundation, is that this is a business at the end of the day. And the more revenue streams that I can generate, the more I will be able to support my family from solely being in the entertainment industry. And also, I'm a business person stuck in a creative body, right? I've got a very business-oriented mind, so it's helpful to have these producerial business outlets to be able to put my brain, energy, and focus into things other than my creating artistic craft. Of course, all of these things are sort of there to prop up my acting career, because that's my ultimate lane. But the others are sort of the Swiss Army knife of the industry. I think that's sort of what we have to do at this point in this journey, is be multifaceted and be able to do it all.
It's been a topic of conversation lately. Have you had to do any self-taped auditions?
I do 99.99% of my auditions via self-tape. I personally, this is a very hot topic, as you just mentioned. I personally very much enjoy it. I have figured out and fine-tuned my self-tape setup. I can do it at a time that really works for my schedule. I can do it. I have people that I trust who I read with. Do I miss the in-person connections? Absolutely. Am I good in the room? Absolutely. I'm okay with either format, and I think I just embrace that's what it is right now, and we have to adapt.
You've done a lot of TV as well. I have to ask, you did Blue Bloods a few years ago. Do you, in fact, now have a reverse mortgage?
Well played. That was such a fantastic show. I have some dear friends on that show, and it just continues to thrive, and audiences continue to show up, and forever grateful that I was able to, that I was honored to show up on that show.
Well, and we've talked to so many people who've done your Blue Bloods, NCIS, CSI when that was on, and we'll say, you know, I've done all these movies, I've done the Broadway stage, but more people saw me on CSI than anything I've done.
There you go, right? It's so true, and that's a great point, right? This stuff lives on forever, and it's on the internet, it's on streaming platforms, and people consume that way from their home. They can consume more content that way than they can going to see a live show. So, you know, I love both mediums, the call and response of being on stage and then being in TV and film. As I just said, it lives on forever. It's always there in perpetuity.
There are more options out there in many ways with streaming services and more outlets for television shows, for films. In some ways, I'm sure that makes it easier, but is it also more of a challenge because you find yourself having to do a lot more of the legwork in terms of things like promotion?
Yeah, I mean, we do. I think that's always been our job. I don't think that's ever not been the case. So it doesn't feel any different to me. Like I'm a grassroots artist who's been the CEO of my company from procuring agents and managers to procuring auditions, in addition to the ones that my agents and managers get me, to marketing, to building out the infrastructure of my storefront, my materials, my website, and my social media. So, but yes, you're totally right that the marketing dollars behind each and every single show can obviously not be as vast or as great as if you're on a network show. So yeah, there is, the impetus does fall on our shoulders as the CEOs of our own brand.
Well, keep your eyes open. It drops this Friday, Bloodline Killer, with Shawnee Smith, Taryn Manning, and our new friend, Drew Moorline. Drew, we wish you good luck with the film. We look forward to the video game when it comes out next year. And keep doing the great work that you're doing and hope we can catch up with you again down the road sometime.
Hey, Rich, I really appreciate your time. And you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much.
That's actor, writer, producer, director Drew Moorline with us here on Downtown on this Tuesday afternoon.